What is this shift?
Welcome to Shift Hit the Fan. I'm Elias, Evra, and Steven and Solma today. Welcome, shifters.
Hey, everybody.
The shifters and the shifties.
Brian welcome. Might join in, too.
All right. Today, we have two beautiful cards, and I think I need to switch this. I'm going to play with a new way of presenting the cards. You guys ready? I'm going to share the screen, and hopefully it does. Here we go. Can you see it? All right. If you're on your video, you can. If you're on the YouTube, you can see it. If you're on the podcast, this is what we have. We have, as our main card, we have the High Priestess. And the High Priestess for us is an owl with a crescent moon in the background. And then we have as our hidden energy, the Root of Wands. And the Root of Wands has a mink with, I guess you could say her paw is up. As in like paws or, I don't know, her paw is up. And there's a little bit of some flowering grass-like plants surrounding her.
It looks like she's warming her hands in the fire, her hand.
Yeah, there's almost like there's a, and her hand's glowing too. So it is kind of like it's a fire, like she's stopping the fire.
Standing up to.
Do not burn me. Toss to the hand. Interesting. This is the second time this morning I'm being reminded of my dream from, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago. I had this dream in like animation form, like if DreamWorks could have drawn it or animated it. And it was a story of an owl, a little owling about to go on a journey. And it had a little toucan following behind it. It's like all of their little families were sending them off. But the owl did not know it had a little bird protector that was following it. But all of those knew, all the little toucan penguin looking birds did know that that was their mission, was to follow the owl and make sure it makes it on its mission. And the background too, it's like it took place in the night as well, and they were walking towards snow, and the way that the stars in the background look like, you know, kind of snowflakes to me more than stars.
I kind of like what you're saying there, because High Priestess, a lot of times High Priestess is like guiding creative force. So if your owl is on her mission, if you think about what a mink does, a mink will often kill just out of sport. Like they just kill other animals out of sport. And so it's almost in this, so like the mink is a very powerful but also small animal that kind of kills other pests. With the mink there being a powerful force, it's like it's rooted in its power and stopping the flame, stopping the things that are hindering someone from being in on their journey, on their quest. And I think that's, I really love this concept of like when we're manifesting something, or we're on our quest, we're on our journey, that the universe will take care of it for us. It'll take care of all the other things that we don't need to worry about. And like I had that same conversation last night with somebody talking about my divorce and making sure that I get custody, or at least part custody, with my daughters. And my friend was telling me that I needed to be careful with different things in life. And I said, no, I need to be me. I need to be me as best as I can. And let the universe take care of the rest. Because if I'm being careful and I'm not being me and I'm not living my best life and I'm not finding happiness for myself, then I'm doing an injustice for my girls. And so while I can respect somebody else's request or decisions or whatever that might be, that doesn't mean that I need to stop being me. And I need to let the universe just let the cards lay where they're going to lay. And so I really like how this is kind of fitting in with that.
I love that it's the Root of Wands, like the beginning of the power, what's underneath the power, the magic, getting to the root of things. And the context that you gave for the minx. Is that what you said it was?
Yeah, mink, or you could even think of it as a weasel. They're pretty similar.
Yeah, because, you know, if you look at, I keep thinking of the tree that can only reach heaven if its roots are in hell. It's like, it's this, it's an integration already there manifested. I think we talked about this in another episode where whenever you get an idea or something, it comes already fulfilled. It comes in the full package. And then you just sort of go about and, you know, hopefully through inspired actions, intuition or whatever, that you're being guided towards that. And it just depends on whether or not you're listening to it. But this is, you know, similar, but it's like, it's more grounded in the, it's like you've done the work. You're really rooted in this power that you're being given.
I really love that perspective, especially because it's, they're both predators. And so, like, it's the journey of, you know, first we're prey and we just accept what we're given and we're in the systems and we're locked in and we're not being ourselves. And then we kind of start to move out of that. You know, we start to reach out and get our information from other sources and we start tapping in. But then this is like the realization, the actualization of that, I'll say, where like now we are going within for our guidance and we're turning to our higher self and our guides and our own intuition and heart. And now we are able to defend that. We can stand up and, you know, and now we can go out and move without fear because we are, you know, we're on the totem pole. We don't have to be afraid. We're predators, you know, we can assert ourselves. And that's kind of the biggest thing I get from that is like confidence of standing in who we are and the root as well. Like down to my very root, I know this is who I am. It's not a belief or a feeling anymore. It's I have this knowing of what I have created and how I move in the world.
Yeah, it's like a predator above and below. You've got the ability to fly even though you're standing on something, you know, on the dark ground. But you've got the ability, you've got the wings, you've got the wisdom.
And you could even switch it up a bit. You know, if you don't like the like predator metaphor, they are highly skilled and have the gifts and abilities to do what they are designed to do. They are the top hunters. And so the eyesight, everything, they're just the best at what they do.
It brings up an interesting thought about nature and how it's been created. You know, it brings me back to that, I think it's the food cycle, where you have the plants that are harnessing all the energy from the sun. Like they are the most nutritious part of the food cycle. And then you have the herbivores that are eating those plants and gathering all of those nutrients, and they're the second most dense. I don't know, creature, I guess you could say, or like food item. So eating herbivores and then eating carnivores tends to be less nutrient dense because they've gone from, they eat the animals that have been eating the plants. And so there's less nutrients available for them. But at the same time, they're the ones that are making sure that there's not too much abundance, that there's not too much. They're helping balance out the creatures that will eat too much of the nutrients. And so that predation really forms a balance in a lot of ways. And I think about that with how our society is formed. And it's just kind of an interesting comparison to think that our society kind of has people that are similar to predators and not necessarily like the evil predators that are preying on women and children type of thing. Like in my thoughts are like thinking of those who have financially more than others or have more of abundance or have that ability to utilize others who are gathering the resources or who are producing the resources. They're the ones who are leading those who are producing or those who are building. I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting comparison to think about. And we have Daniela. Welcome, Daniela.
Hello, everyone. Oh,
Well, what I was saying, looking at here on the high priestess and just the expression on her face when I was talking earlier about being angry. There's like an angry look, but not like that's not okay. It's like set in her ways, but they're her ways of being who she is, which is, Elias, you spoke to that, you know, needing that in your, not needing it, but like standing for that in your relationship to be who you are. And that's going to serve your girls best. And this is that place of standing there and in the beauty of the forming moon, when you're forming what you want to produce and what you want to fulfill. And behind, I really saw more like the Aurora Borealis, which I'm always fascinated by, and I've never seen it actually in person, but it's, you know, like the fascination of life for me. And that, yeah, that they are both predators, that they're both standing for themselves. All of that is just really there. I first thought it was a weasel, but then I really loved when you called it a mink, because I went, it's like the manifestation of the wealth is what the mink then stood for me. And even a shine above the head, you know, it's like, for me, that's enlightenment. Come on. And again, you know, like back off fire, because that fire is going to come and we get to stand up to that as well. So I really saw like standing for what you want in the manifestation and the outcome that you want. Yes, I have a quote. I have one line to read right now, and then I'll look for the other one while someone's talking. But it was from this morning in a call, and it's by Heidegger. And I may just have to say it without reading it. But it has to do with the, you know, well, I guess speaking is so eloquent, though. It has to do with the manifestation, like accomplishment doesn't happen unless it all, the accomplishment happens because it already is. That's more like an interpretation of it. So I'll get more clear. But anyway, that's it right now. Welcome, Daniela.
Couldn't the mink also be prey of the owl?
Wow. Because they're both predators. That would really be vicious. I would vote for the owl winning. I really would. Really. They're swooping down. They're, I don't know.
Yeah. And that was battle, my,
for sure. What?
That was my point is like, you know, because this is the main card is the High Priestess.
Yeah.
Which what's hidden in the background is, you know, the root, the, what's hidden underneath is you can devour that as well. And it's already got the fire that can also devour it. Even if it's, you know, saying talk to the hand, it's just warming its hand there. It still can also be devoured. So you don't necessarily, even if you are rooted in something that you think you can't change, you can still change it if you wanted to. It's got all of the elements to be able to transmute it with the High Priestess and, you know, the fire within the card even.
So equally, they can devour each other, and they do often, right? It's like all of a sudden we're in our power, and then all of a sudden we're not.
Like you're talking about being rooted in our power, and the song has been floating through my head called "Power" by an artist named Ren, and he's talking about just the life that he's had growing up, and he's talked about. Like in the song, he talks about how he heard sounds of fighting and how he was like hearing through the wall, he was hearing love dying and just like these terrible things that were happening as he was growing up. And so he says, so he's focused on his power and like, what do you have power over? What in your life is in your control? What do you have capabilities of doing? And I think that this idea of being rooted in your wand, the wand being your power emitter, and what is in your control. And a lot of times there's not much that is in your control. You can't control what the universe gives you, what is the resources that you have or the circumstances that you're in, but you can just control your decisions. You can control what you feel and what's going on inside of you. And sometimes you can't even control the emotions. And sometimes you just have to let yourself feel those emotions and choose with the emotion that's in there. But like, what choices do you have? And I think that's what I love about, like, and we've talked about this in recent, like, until I started choosing the life that I was living, I was in this weird conflict and just had building tension inside of myself because I couldn't find that peace within me. I wasn't in my power. I wasn't choosing wholeheartedly what I was choosing. I was just kind of halfway there. And so I think that that's where our power lies, is where is our ability to choose and how can we choose what we want in life?
Halfway there and living on a prayer.
We all want to say something.
No, I just said halfway there and living on a prayer.
And I was going to comment on, I love that you said halfway there, because as when we're halfway there and acknowledging it, sometimes we're not looking at it as that's living on a prayer. We're looking at it as I'm only halfway there, but that empowering part. Yeah. I love that song too.
Yeah, every time I see I'm halfway through something, I was like, living on a prayer.
Yep.
That is such a strong thing that you were saying, though, Elias, like, because I can relate to that so much. Going through circumstances, you know, whether I can leave them or not, I mean, you can always exit a circumstance, even if it is a radical consequence and all of that stuff. But it's feeling like the victim because I'm in a circumstance and wishing it was different. And yet I'm just co-signing that and I'm falling into it every day and I'm not analyzing it and being aware. And so, yeah, now coming out of that just automatic state, you know, where I just am a victim of my circumstance and my thoughts and my emotions. Now we are starting to learn to exert some power over some of those things, or at least step back and just be the observer and choose not to interact. You know, we're making conscious choices that are just, you know, they bring this beautiful awareness.
I was going to comment on you guys making it, saying that you're halfway or feeling like we're halfway there sometimes, even because even to me, it's such a big part of it just to have the discernment to recognize, do I even have any power in the situation? And of the things that I do have power, how much do I actually influence? And recognizing, like you're saying about letting go, like, you know, just accepting of what is and what isn't within your control.
But that is the thing, right? Like, we always have a choice, even if that choice is just, I need to accept this, or I'm not going to accept it, and I'm going to be kicking and screaming the whole way. There is always a choice, you know, and that is where our power lies in making those decisions.
There is some kind of discernment here, though, that I'm also just kind of like on the edge of, feels like. And it's, Daniela, maybe I'm about to meet where you are or something. Turns out that's the whole model for today, huh? Yeah, there's something about the, see, I always want to put in the creation, because to me, that's not control. It's the use of your intention and your aim of what is in your heart. And so you're standing for that. And there, you're given actions. And sometimes you take wrong ones, but not wrong, you know, like you're still going to figure it out. You're just going to go through that, feel like you're off track. Be off track and then go, whoop, oh, okay, now we'll do this. And I think for me, I think about that as faith, but it's also the trust in the outcome or just in your heart, even. Again, being true to you and what your desire is. And that certainty is what I see on the owl, that's how it's going to be. And oh, guess what? I found the quote. And it does speak to that. So again, it's Martin Heidegger. We are far from pondering the essence of action decisively enough. We view action only as causing an effect. However, the essence of action is accomplishment. To accomplish means to unfold something into the fullness of its essence and to lead it forth into this fullness. I don't speak French. Therefore, only what already is can really be accomplished.
It goes right in line with the thought that I was having when we were talking about being halfway. This idea of, you know, I've heard so many people talk about how you set your accomplishment, you set your goal, and then you reach your goal, and then it's like, well, now what? Like, I reached it, and now I'm not as happy as I thought I'd be. Like, the happiness wears off, or whatever it might be that, like, once you reach your goal, there's still more life to live. There's still more things to happen. To me, it almost just comes down to this, and I say this probably way too often, but just the experience. Like, what are you experiencing? Are you enjoying the journey of reaching that goal? Is the action itself the accomplishment? Getting to just experience what it's like to perform or to do the thing that you were doing. And I think that there's a lot of beauty in that. If you are enjoying the process, if you're enjoying what you're doing, that almost is more of an accomplishment than accomplishing some big goal or some end piece in sight.
I think that adds to the fulfillment. I think fulfillment is also a really important word along with the accomplishment. And yeah, I'm going to say there are going to be plenty of actions I'm not going to want to take. And yet they are the ones to be taken and being willing. So yeah, I do see them. There's a discernment among them.
How do we all feel about expectations of this? Do we feel that, like, the less expectation we hold of these experiences and goals, the more fulfillment we get out of the process?
Whose expectation?
Ah, that's a good question. I would say our own. What is our own expectation and what we're doing, the actions we take?
Still, that would, you know, question, why do I have this expectation? Is there something that I haven't unlearned? Or did I get this because somebody else, I know somebody else would expect? Because I think if we're just being ourselves and, you know, being powerful, being whatever it is, really in our power, we wouldn't have the expectations. Those are usually programmed by others, by society, by what we think life is supposed to look like.
I think expectation have two different ways. Like, so kind of what Avra was saying, my first initial response is expectations are made to set up failure. My thought is, like, when you have an expectation and you expect that thing to happen, the thing's not going to happen the way that you want it to happen. You know, there's no way that you can predict the future. And in my martial arts instructor, I just had a meeting with him, and he was saying that if you are thinking about the future, you're not present. You're not in your body. You're creating an unnecessary tension inside of yourself, and you need to relax and release that tension and just act on what's in front of you. But then at the same time, we create visions for ourselves. You know, there's this big shelf that I have, big project of a shelf that I'm making right now. And so I expect that shelf will be made at some point. I have that vision. I have that expectation. And the journey is not going quite the way that I had thought it would. Like, I expected to be done at this point, and I've just got the base of it done. But at the same time, that vision is carrying me along to do the work. And so I think going back to those ideas of halfway and action and accomplishment, I have this vision, I have this expectation inside of me. Can I take one step in accomplishing that vision? You know, can I go out there and chisel out a hole so that everything fits together the way that I want it to fit together? You know, that would be one step for me. And so those little steps that we're taking and can be those accomplishments are in themselves, and that creating that expectation that we have. And I think the question really becomes, what are we attaching ourselves to in the expectation? How attached are we? Are we attaching it in some way that it is going to drag us and rip us around and troll us? Or is it something where we said, I have this expectation, I want this to get done, and I'm just going to act accordingly. And as the cards fall, as it happens, then it happens. And I'm grateful for whatever comes my way.
Drag us and rip us around like the owl with the minx.
Daniela, go ahead, Daniela.
Yeah, I was going to say something about how I feel like I've probably heard this before, and it's probably a thing, but I feel like true power comes from surrender. Something that I think happens a lot for us when we're kids. We can have these big awakening or big epiphanies all the time, because when we are children, we are just genuinely powerless. You know, we understand that we are below another entity. Another entity is absolutely, without a doubt, in charge of us. And so we may come through our phases. I think I had a big one when I was like 7. And then I feel like I had another one when I was like 11 or 12. But you have these periods of time where you start pushing back and, you know, you start saying like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And you feel like you're taking your power in so many ways. But sometimes what you find is that you've just tangled yourself up in a bit of a mess because you don't actually have the power to decide whether or not you can go to school. And it's easier for us when we're kids, because once we hit the age of 18, we should have all the power in our lives to do anything. But I think another huge awakening or huge epiphany when you come into adulthood is realizing that the only thing we have power over is our will and our desires. It's when things happen, you have control over how you respond. But you know, you may say, I want to buy a house in the future. And what ends up happening is, I don't know, some chaotic experience happens. Say one of your parents dies, you have to take care of them and you have to make all this stuff happen. And it ends up being, yes, what your end goal was, but not at all how you imagined it. So kind of like what you're saying about your shelf, like you have a plan, right? And I mean, when you started talking about your project, I was like, oh, I have this massive painting behind me that my foolish, arrogant brain was like, I can do that in 3 days. And only just started it. I've never done oil painting before. I only just started doing oil paintings. And I was like, I didn't even buy enough paint to cover the canvas. I have no idea what I'm doing. I know what the end goal is, but the how of getting there, realistically, I have no idea. I have to let go of the desire to control that, of my expectations of how it's going to go, of how I can do, of how it's going to respond to me, and just say, I know, right? I'm shooting off into the stars off in the distance over there, and I just know I have to head in that direction. That's ultimately pretty much it. That's all I have control over. I just need to keep facing in that direction, and eventually I'll get there. I don't know. For me, at least, something I learned a couple years ago when I got sick, I'm sure Avra, actually, you can understand this yourself very closely, is we have nothing, so little. And we can have these expectations, even of the people in our lives. And sometimes even then, it goes nothing like you thought it would, you know? And so back to the thought that I started this with is just, I feel like true power lies in the surrender of accepting like, okay, I get this is what I want, and let's just let it happen how it happens, you know?
It's it goes along with the martial arts that I train with, Sustain Mob. There is power, and what they say is that there's power in relaxation. And when you relax, you think, I'm going to relax. Like, I'm just going to go limp. And that's what my relaxation was for a long time. But there's a difference between dismembering everything and being limp, and being relaxed, but also connected. Like when you're relaxed and connected to everything, then you have power. And in the martial arts, you have power to strike in a way that can relax the other person so that they no longer want to fight and you're both in your peace. And so you're like playing with that ability inside myself is a beautiful feeling. Can I find my power? Can I relax enough so that I'm not tense and like trying to expect this thing to happen, anticipating the next the next thing that's going to happen in life? Can I just be here and know that I can interact in whatever way that I need to, and that my heart, my mind, my body, my spirit, and that I'm fully connected to myself, and that I'm connected to my environment. And then I'm not responding in a way that's necessarily a reactive response, something that's conditioned, some sort of conditioned behavior, but I'm responding in a way that I'm aware. I'm aware of myself, I'm aware of my environment, and I get to choose what I want to do. And I let the intelligence of my body and my mind and my spirit just be whole inside of it all.
You're aware, not anxious. When your trainer was saying, if you're in the future, you create this tension, it's because if you're in the future, you're anxious. If you're constantly thinking about the past, you're depressed. It's a common thing that's said. So yeah, you want to stay aware so that you can be responsive instead of being afraid, because then you're reactive. It's, I was just writing about that stuff this morning, actually.
Yeah, since you were talking about the martial arts, immediately when you had said earlier, the two phrases have been touched on as far as expectations. One is similar to Elias saying that it's a failure, but like it's expectations unfulfilled create upsets. So there's that part of it. And then from Kung Fu TV show from ages ago, for whatever reason, one of the phrases I remembered, expect the unexpected. Like that's the value of it. That does have you looking forward. And then you get to allow the unfoldment. And I mean, that's just the part I added just now, because the unfoldment is, it's keeping me present now. Because the day doesn't go like I think. And being with everything that's happening as it's happening. For instance, at a party, it started out that there was a miscommunication and we just kept being with it. It didn't feel great, but we kept staying in that communication. And by the end of that event, the person was upset at first, but she just wanted to be heard. So we solved what was needed. And later she just said, this was a 10 out of 10. And we've never had anybody say that. It was just being with however it was unfolding, and then it coming back greater than we could have expected. And that's part of manifestation too, full of all these little phrases this morning. And of course, I don't remember them all. But one of them is, you know, when you do give the universe exactly what you want, you will have that, but it almost never comes in the way you think so. And often it's even better. So that's being in the unfoldment for me.
Yep. It always turns out better. It always turns out exactly the way it needs to be. And you just have to be in alignment with it. At least that's the way I think is.
In alignment and also out of the way.
But it's a lot of work to keep yourself in alignment, you know. That's one of the things, because I think I fall into a spiritual trap that things should be kind of easy. I think things should be simple, not necessarily easy, because you just got to keep yourself in alignment, right? But that's a lot of work. That's hard. Constantly being, you know, holding yourself accountable and putting in the effort and making sure you're genuinely looking at things from all perspectives and humbling yourself when necessary to communicate the things you need to for your ultimate end goals, you know, right? Ultimately, what's most important, is it the collective or is it our own pride or ego? It's hard. It's a lot of work.
When you have the joy present of the accomplishment, coming from the accomplishment, that's when the ease is present.
Yeah.
Not a lot of work at that point.
Yeah.
So the lot of work conversation is a hint of like, something's, you know, something's too serious or something's off. And how can I have my joy back? Oh, yeah, this is what I wanted. No wonder. Yes, that was exciting. Let's have that. And then that's how we can shift. We're shifting again.
I love that perspective. Yeah, that resonates.
I like what you said about being simple. Like, if something is too complicated, then it needs to be broken down until it's simple enough to handle the most simple task.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that thing. Like, if I have a vision that I want, that vision is going to overwhelm everything that's in my mind. I'm not going to be able to think of all those things. But if I can narrow it down to, all right, what's the most simple task that I can do right now to get to where that, to align me with that vision? And I think that's the simplicity of it, is what can I simply do now?
And sometimes it is, someone recently told me that they came to know whenever they're in a moment of what now, meditate. I thought, wow, that's a good t-shirt. So now, and then put meditate on the back. That's what he said. So what now? Then so it is. That's a different, the different work of meditation, which is ease. Sorry.
Well, I think that's what we got for you guys today. Remember the simplicity in life. Be in your power. Root in your resources. Go out and do the thing that you want to do.
Nice and ease.
Take that minx for a ride.
That's right. When in doubt, root it out.
Yeah. All right. We love you.
I love you.
See the shifts in the world that you want to see.
Yeah.